The title of the message is Things Above, okay, Things Above. And, you know, during the prayer meeting, we never really coordinate things, but we don't coordinate it. But the theme is kind of related to the prayer meeting we had before the service. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2 says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ," okay, and this is what it says, "set your heart on things above." Yeah, and that's one area that we pray for. And then where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and it says, "set your mind on things above." That was the other thing that we prayed about, not on earthly things. Right? And, you know, growing spiritually, and we're trying to also build a healthy church for God. We want to glorify God. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, Holy Spirit revival in this church, the Holy Spirit revival. And all those things that we want to do, right, it's not going to happen automatically, and it's not easy, right? You know, it's not easy, and it's not, you know, it's not just going to happen. As we pursue spiritual maturity, as we pursue loving one another, as we pursue Holy Spirit revival for our church, for our home, for our community and nations, right, there will be spiritual attacks. You know, you will face spiritual attacks. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. There will be setbacks. There will be conflict, you know, and our weakness will be exposed. As we do this, yeah. Do you still want revival? Yeah, good. You know, we are excited about God's revival, not human effort, not human revival. But when you get excited about it, you will be hit. You know, we will get hit with difficulties. And so, what should you do? And it's a simple message. You know, we teach you: don't beat yourself up. Okay. Don't listen to lies, you know. Don't walk in condemnation, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But let's do this, okay? What the Bible tells us to do: set your heart, set your mind on the Lord, on things above, okay? Say that to your neighbor: set your heart and mind on things above. Okay? And so, you know, God touches you and your heart gets softer and there's some love in your heart, so you want to serve and you want to help people, and you know, you're doing that, and what happens? There's misunderstanding, they get mad at you. What should you do? Right? You know, set your heart and mind on things above. Okay? On things above. Some of you got excited about, you know, prayer. You know, I want to pray more. You know, you heard about fasting. You go, you know, I'm going to fast for one day. Some of you said, I'm going to fast for 5 days, or, you know. And so you got excited about doing those things. But what happened? You know, you're fasting that week, and, you know, you get into a fight with your mother-in-law. You know, you get into a little bumper-to-bumper car accident. What should you do when those things happen? Set your heart and mind on things above. Okay? You want truth in your life? You want to renounce the lies and embrace the truth? So you're meditating on the Word of God. You're meditating on the Word of God. To do that, you say, you know, I'm going to go to work early. I'm going to go to work 15 minutes or 30 minutes early and just meditate on the Word of God. And you do that, and, you know, God speaks to you, and then your boss comes into your desk and criticizes you, you know. And what should you do when that happens? Set your heart and mind on things above. Church said? Okay. You know, and how do we do that? And that's something that we did at the prayer meeting too. We're going to proclaim. Very simple, two-part message. We're going to renounce one area, but we're going to proclaim. Now, that's point number one. Proclaim the Lord. Say that to your neighbor. Proclaim the Lord. Right? We need to proclaim the Lord in verse 23. It says, whatever you do. It says, whatever you do, proclaim the Lord. Okay? You could be serving in children ministry. You could be serving in hospitality. You could be serving in this church. And, you know, again, I'm very proud of this church. You know, I think 60, 70% of you are serving in this church in some capacity, okay? In this church. Okay? And so you're serving. And so whatever you are doing to serve, you know, you got to know who you are serving. Okay? You're not serving the senior pastor. Ultimately, we are serving the Lord. Okay? And you need to proclaim, I'm serving the Lord. Okay? You're trying to walk in faith. Okay? You need to proclaim Jesus. You're trying to love. You need to continuously proclaim Jesus. I am doing this ministry for the Lord. I am walking in faith because I love the Lord. I am going to love others, okay? Not what I could get out of them. I'm going to love others because for the Lord. For the Lord. I know it sounds simple, but this is so important because verse 23, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24 says, whatever you do, you know, do your best, work at it all with all your heart as what? Working for the Lord, not for human master, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Huh? So whatever you are doing, the question, you know, do you know and do you understand who you are really serving? In the workplace, in your workplace, are you doing that work to get a paycheck? Huh? To please my human boss. To, you know, this is a good reason. I am working from 9 to 5 or, you know, 12 hours a day. I am in my business every day so that I could pay the bill. Okay? It's not a bad thing. But as a Christian, what you need to do is I am doing this for the Lord. Okay? Whatever you're doing. I am doing this for my Lord. Okay? No matter how meaningless or how menial you think your job is. Did you guys hear that? You need to proclaim, I am doing this for the Lord. Because if you proclaim the Lord in whatever you are doing, okay, in your work, that work becomes worship. Okay? That work becomes worship. Joseph had the most worst job that you could ever have. He was a slave. Okay? If that wasn't bad enough, okay, he got worse job than a slave as a prisoner. Okay? And I believe Joseph kept his heart and mind as a slave and in prison on things above. How do I know that? The Bible says people saw God in him. People are pagans. Other prisoners, other slaves saw God in him. Potiphar saw God in him. The prison warden saw God in him. Meaning, what he was doing, he knew who he was serving. It wasn't Potiphar. Okay? It wasn't the prison warden. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. See, in college, when I was in college, I had a lot of difficulties in my studies. Okay? You know, unlike most of you. Anyway, you know, and it was just getting hard. I didn't know what to do. It was just so much pressure, so much stress, you know. I couldn't memorize. I wasn't getting good grades, you know. And so what I started to do in college was I started praying this. God, this study, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for you. Okay? I'm doing this for you. And something changed in the spiritual. You know, I felt God's strength. I felt God helping me. And I start doing better. Okay? Not A, but you know, I start doing better. Okay? Yeah. So as a pastor of this church, there, you know, I get spiritually attacked like you guys. I get fatigue. there's disappointment in ministry, there's stress, you know, and I have weaknesses. And what I need to do in ministry as a pastor of this church, I have to continuously proclaim, God, this is for you. Okay? This is for you. This is for you. I got to get up in the morning and think about what I need to do throughout the day. I say, God, this is for you. Then you know what happens? People's complaints, voices become soft, you know, quieter. I start to develop this inner strength. There's peace that comes on me. I get a more proper perspective. I feel more empowered. Okay? With your child or with your children, okay? Now, what do you proclaim? This child is yours, God. Or is it, my child? Okay? Okay? My child. And, you know, it's just about keeping them alive, making sure that they have good grades, you know. But what happens is, if you have that attitude, okay, your kids are playing sports, you will overcompensate for what you did not have when you were a child. Okay? They're doing the sports so that you have a bragging right from other people. It's not for Jesus. But if you're raising your child for Jesus, okay, your child's playing sport, you become a better witness. You'll be a better witness. It's not just about winning. Okay? Your household, our relationship in the church, okay? You know, when you, our relationship with one another, you're seeing what others are not doing. You know, you're holding a mistake somebody made, you know, 6 months ago in your heart. Or are you proclaiming, this church is yours, Lord. Okay? This church is yours. This is your body. Lord, this relationship is yours. And I'm going to love others because of you, Lord. And when you do that, you'll feel the presence of the Lord in this church. You will see unity. You will see people rising up. You will see people changing and transforming. And we will be able to partner together to transform this community and the world. See, the Bible says, when you do it, whatever you do for the Lord, okay, in verse 24, it says, You make a deposit in heaven. When you're doing it for the Lord, okay, you make a deposit in heaven. It doesn't matter if you're rearranging paper or, you know, as a mom driving your child to school every morning and picking them up in the afternoon. If you do it for the Lord, whatever you do, is that the Bible says, there's an inheritance, there's a reward. There's a deposit that you make in heaven. No matter your job, no matter how meaningless or how, you know, just routine and you feel that your job, if you are doing for the Lord, there's an eternal reward. You know what God reminds me of? There's a couple things. You know, I've been in ministry for many, many years. You know, I did conferences, you know, with I spoke at schools with thousands of people. I did conferences with 500 people, 600 people. You know, I lead and, you know, I minister, you know, I travel. But you know what the Lord always thanks me for? He comes up, the Lord reminds me again and again. When I first became a Christian, I wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't know what I could do. You know, I just wanted to serve the Lord. I want to do something for you, God. And I asked the pastor, what can I do for the Lord? You know, I went to this church, start going to this church. You know what this pastor told me? I have all this sermon cassette, 200 cassettes. Can you just put it in order by date and, you know, topics and all this stuff, you know? You know what cassettes are, right? It was a long time ago. Eight-track. This is how we used to listen to music and stuff, cassette tape, right? And I remember in the basement, you know, in the pastor's basement, there in his bookshelf, all alone, I'm just organizing the cassette. Organizing it. And God always reminds me, God, you know, remember when you did that, Sam? Thank you. Another one that God always comes and reminds me is when I started Harvest and I had no place to live. And to live in this place, this church asked me to be the janitor of the church. Okay? And so I cleaned this church for 2 years. Okay, 2 years I cleaned. I cleaned the toilet, the bathroom, vacuumed the sanctuary. Okay? And you know what? To this day, God tells me, I remember that. I remember that. He doesn't come to me about, what about that time I spoke to 1,000 people? No. He keeps telling me, I remember that. I'm not going to forget. And I even hear the Lord say, thank you. You did it for me. Okay? Whatever you do, you proclaim the Lord, there's a reward. Whatever you do. Okay? Amen? Number two, renounce the temporal. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Renounce the temporal. You know, the popular culture, the world, the culture that we live in, they lift up, they proclaim the temporal. We as Christian, we proclaim the Lord, but we don't do what the world does. We renounce the temporary things. Right? We renounce the temporal. We renounce the temporary things. We as Christian need to do the opposite of the world. We renounce the temporal. The popular culture, the world around you is telling you what is important. Okay? You are bombarded night and day by the world. You know, every time you open your app or your phone or watch TV or, you know, it's just you're bombarded. It's telling you what is important. The popular culture says the important thing, the temporary thing is important. The temporary thing is very important. What matters is your hairstyle, the car that you drive, and the shoes that you wear. That's what really matters. You watch commercial, and every commercial, you know, almost every commercial, any advertisement, what it's saying to you is you haven't really lived until you buy this product. Huh? That's what it's telling you. The temporary thing is important, you know. But you as a Christian need to live in the light of not the temporary thing, but the eternal. Say to your neighbor, I'm going to live for the eternal. Not things that will not matter tomorrow. Not things that's constantly changing. Whatever is in style today is not going to be in style tomorrow. Not for things that's not going to matter tomorrow. You know, if we live for the temporary things, you and I will be miserable. Okay? You know, you're saying, God, why are you doing? Well, maybe it's not God, but we're living for the temporary things. That's what's making us miserable. Right? When focus on the temporary things, you know, your joy is easily taken away. Right? It just, your life is easily sapped if you live for the temporary thing. The traffic is slow and life is sapped out of you. Okay? The coffee is not hot enough and the life is sapped out of you. My whole day's ruined. There's a little blemish on your face. Life is not worth living. Okay? There's a little blemish. Someone didn't say hi to you. Yeah? And ruins your whole day. The Bible says, In 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, you know, because when you focus on the temporary things, you're always comparing yourself not to how God sees you, but to everybody else, how they see you. When you base your life on temporary things. And so 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, don't compare yourself to others. If you do, you are not wise. That's what the Bible says. Meaning, if you live for the temporary things, then you compare yourself not to how God sees you, but opinions of other people, and you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable. You know, you'll start comparing yourself with other people, comparing the salaries, you know, compare family, compare children. Is that why we have kids? Like, you're comparing cars? Huh? This car is faster. Well, my kid's faster. Huh? Compare your bodies with other people. You know, God, compare your hair, you know, as you get older, how much you're retaining, and we compare ourselves in social media, like how many, you know, this person has more likes and this person has more followers, so they must have more value. Can you believe that? Because you know how easy it is to like? Just, that's how easy it is. And you somebody who could so easily, you know, do it, that's where you put your value, your life value in. When you pursue the temporary things, you forget who you are in Christ. Okay? You forget your identity that's in Jesus Christ. See, who am I? Is the most important question that you need to answer. In this culture, they say your identity is in the temporary things. Okay? This is what this culture tells you. And so you need to really be honest. Why are you so depressed? Huh? Why are you so angry? Why are you so confused? And you need to ask yourself, is it because my identity is in temporary things? As a Christian, what you have, the temporary things, do not define you. That does not define you. If your identity is in the temporary things, you will be swayed up and down with the circumstances, with people's opinion. When you don't know who you are, you're vulnerable to other people telling you who you are. You know, angry people. Do you want to identify yourself with people who's angry all the time? Who's critical? What? Who's broken? Right? Because if a broken person identify you, they'll tell you, you are broken. Right? If you know your identity, you can be yourself. If you know who you are in Jesus, you don't compare yourself to others. You don't try to be someone else. It is when you don't know who you are, you know, that's when you say, the shoes that I'm wearing is who I am. The car that I drive is my identity. And then you open yourself up spiritually to lies, to pressure, to stress, to the world, to the devil. I said this before, nature defines character. Okay, like a cat have a very difficult time trying to act like a dog. A dog will have a difficult time trying to act like a cat. Who we are determines what we do. Okay? And if you put your value in temporary things, okay, your life will be miserable. But if you your identity is in God, you know what the Bible says about God? God is love. Not God wants to love. It's the Bible says God is love. If you didn't have God, no one would know what love is. Because God is love. God doesn't fake. You know, when he says he loves you, you know, we do that. You know, I love you. You know, you just say it. It doesn't mean, sometimes it doesn't mean much. You just say it's because, you know, some days we don't have much love. But God is love. He cannot fake it when he says he loves you. Okay, he cannot fake it. He cannot pretend. He can't perform. When he says, I love you, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Okay? It's truth. Because God is love. Love just naturally flows out of him. Okay? Naturally flows out of him. And so, and when you live a life that is inconsistent to your true nature, when you believe your life is based on what you have and temporary things, your life, you will create a life of frustration, stress, and disappointment. It is when you know who you are, when you know your identity as a Christian, that you have true peace. You are able to tap into this tremendous love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, right? The power of God, the authority of God. You're able to tap into it. And so, if you know your identity, the Bible says, in Christ, you are forgiven. Right? What would it be like, right, to live today knowing you are completely forgiven? Would it change anything about you? The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Your identity is in Christ. There's no condemnation. What would it be like when you go home after church? Okay? If you know in Christ there is no condemnation. I don't care if your spouse gave you this look. You didn't throw out this garbage. You know, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. No, if you know in Christ, you are completely accepted. Huh? How would it change your life? How would it change your life? Your identity is in Christ so that you have eternal life. Huh? How would you think about Monday knowing that you have eternal life? Eternal life. And, you know, the Bible says greater is he that is in you, because our identity is in Christ, than the one in the world. Right? Than the one in the world. And, you know, oh man, that would totally radically change my attitude on spiritual warfare. It would. Right? It would totally, you know, a lot of people fight spiritual warfare acting like the devil is 50% evil, and God is 50% good. Like, it's even. This is an even match. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus has already overcome the devil. He is defeated. Right? He is all-powerful. How would it affect spiritual battle in your life? How would it affect the lies that's coming into your mind if you know this truth? Greater is he that's in me, Christ that's in me, than the one that's in the world. Yeah? You are completely accepted by God. Completely accepted. Somebody, you know, don't return your call. Oh, I'm rejected. No, but you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords accepts you completely. And the Bible says you are valuable to him. You see, you are so valuable. You know, God created the universe with his words. The lion, his word. I think he just, lion. You know? But the Bible says he created you in his image and his likeness, and he took time creating you. He reached down to the dirt, and he got his hand dirty, and he molded you. You are valuable to God. So as a church, we are preparing for, again, not a human revival, not what the world lifts up, but what we, and, you know, I don't want our church to think, you know, to imitate the world in revival. And sometime without knowing as a church, we could fall into that. What God wants to do is totally and radically different. And so much more amazing. And so much more powerful. And so much more powerful. But to hold that revival that the Holy Spirit wants to do in this church, we have to navigate through storms, through spiritual attack, through conflict, through hardship, through unfairness, through loneliness. I believe there's so many things that's out there now that distracts us. You know, every app on the phone distracts us now. There's so much social media that distracts us. There's so many things. And it has become too easy to distract Christians from Holy Spirit revival. It has become very easy. Because, you know, someone's not nice to you. God can't move anymore, you know. Somebody's nice to you. Oh, God is alive. God is with me. Somebody remember my birthday. Revival! Right? People forget your birthday. Yeah, depressed. Okay. Up and down. And the list never stops. There'll be something else. Now there's something else. 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 Now, you know, I stopped listening and stopped reading news on the government. It's just so depressing to me, you know, what's going on. And so what I'm doing is I'm trying to remember, greater is he that is in me than the one that's in the world. Right? But the list is doesn't stop. There are more and more things that's going to stop you and I from the Holy Spirit revival. Right? And you and I sometimes are making it too easy for the devil. We're making it just a little, it's too easy for him. My challenge to you and to myself is this: let's stop making it so easy for the devil. And the church said, okay, let's pray. Let's initiate change in our life by proclaiming Jesus in whatever we are doing, whatever that we are involved with. Right? Proclaim Jesus. No matter how small or how big. Proclaim Jesus. Jesus was able to, you know, just few fish and few bread. Didn't seem like much. And he multiplied it. Because this little boy gave it to the Lord. Give the Lord, you know, you're saying, you're so disappointed, I gotta take care of this brokenness by myself. And the question is, how are you doing with that? Can you give your brokenness to Jesus? Whatever you're doing for the Lord, it is significant in heaven. it is significant in heaven. If you just say, I need to be up there to teach, I need to be up there to lead worship, the question I ask is, who are you really doing that for? Because if you're doing it for the Lord, you don't mind if you make breakfast for somebody, then it's a blessing. If you're doing it for the Lord. The Bible says, even this cup of water that you gave to somebody who was thirsty, you know what Jesus said? You did that for me. And it will not be forgotten. Don't look at what the world says is important. It's popularity, recognition, money, how you look. But we don't want to bring that into the church. In the church, God tells you, just holding that baby in the church and so that a mom could have a little break. Jesus said, you did that for me. Because God keeps reminding me. I think when I get to heaven, you know what he's going to say? Remember when you did that? You cleaned that toilet every week. You did that for me. Come into my rest. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter into my rest. Jesus, in whatever you are doing right now, it will encourage you, it will strengthen you. Maybe you're dreading Monday. I dread Monday, what I have to do at work. Start proclaiming, God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. And you'll start to see something that you haven't seen before. When you're proclaiming Jesus, you're kind of dying to yourself, because so much of our life, we're doing it for ourselves. So many things, we're doing it for ourselves, and you are miserable. Things are more meaningless. The Lord, you give a cup of water to the thirsty, and you have an inheritance in heaven.